podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I am your host, Andy Mitz. Today, we are following up on some not-so-great news for the Kansas Jayhawks on the basketball side. The double whammy after Kyle and I recorded last time of bad news happening for the Jayhawks. Both Mackenzie Mbako not committing to Kansas and then Ernest Udeh entering the transfer portal. Here to help me break all that down and potentially take a look at what we're going to be doing here for, you know, the next 100 days or so before Kansas football starts, I have Brennan Dorzinski, one of our analysts over at Blue Wings Rising, and of course, co-host of 580 Sports Talk over on WIBW in Topeka. Brendan, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Andy. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I've had a few days to kind of cool down after, you know, hearing about all the stuff that happened there. So I want to start, which one of those do you think is a bigger deal for the Jayhawks? Mbako not committing or Udeh entering the transfer portal?
So I've gone back and forth on this topic, and I thought for a long time that I was going to go with Ernest Udeh. But I'm actually going to flip that, and I'm going to say Mackenzie Mbako. And it's not because necessarily KU needed him to be good this year. In fact, there's been so much discourse, specifically referencing Twitter, but all over message boards and in person, and about, oh my God, we lost so many people, and I don't know if these transfers are any good. I think KU has had a great spring, even without getting Mbako. Oh, yeah. You get Dickinson. I'm not thrilled about the off-the-court stuff with Arterio Morris, but he's obviously a talented player. I think Timberlake is going to come in and be like a better version, potentially, of Isaiah Moss. Hell, even if he's just what Isaiah Moss was in 2020, that's a hell of a player. So I think KU has had, and now you had Parker Brown, who, if he ends up being like Mitch Lightfoot 2.0, that's a win for this team. That's a win for your backup depth. So I think it's been a really good spring for KU overall, but a little bit more size would have been really nice at the four. Because now, while you've got a bunch of interesting pieces and talented pieces, your four spot is going to be somewhat difficult, I think, to put together for a full 40 minutes. Like, KJ Adams is going to play there a bunch. We know that KJ is going to be on the floor a ton. Probably going to fill in a little bit at the five, depending on matchups, but mostly he's going to play the four this year. That's fine. Love KJ. Love the energy, effort, defense, all that. But you're undersized there then, and you don't have a shooter at the four. Dickinson can step out and shoot. That's nice. He was a 42% three-point shooter last year at Michigan. But a little bit more shooting on the perimeter would have been nice. And Mbako's length would have been nice. Saw a little bit of his tape. I'm not going to say I dove all the way into every single one of his AAU game tapes. But from what I saw, a lot of nice offensive touch, a lot of potential there. Potential for that shot to get even better already makes, I think it was somewhere around 35-36% of his threes at his current level. So to me, missing out on a player like that, it's not necessarily a floor-raising move. Like, there are certain moves that raise the floor, and there are certain moves that raise the ceiling. Adding Mbako, I think, was a ceiling-raising move. KU's baseline, going to be good. Mbako could have taken that ceiling, though, to the very next level. KU's still going to be a national championship contender. They might have been the favorites if they added someone with that kind of size, length, versatility. The reason I go with that over Udeh is Ernest was probably gone as soon as Hunter Dickinson committed. And I imagine there was some amount of behind-the-scenes talk, like, Ernest, no, it's eventually going to be your job. It's eventually going to be your job. I was not surprised at all that one of the big men left, either Zubi or Udeh. I would have preferred to keep Udeh. But looking back on it, and I know there was a lot of chatter about, well, by recruiting Mbako, that was obviously a reason for Udeh to not come, and maybe he'll come back now that Mbako is not coming. They don't play the same position. Ernest is a back-to-the-basket, for now, big man who is going to play the five. Can't stretch it. He's a rim runner and a lob catcher. That's not what Mbako's game is at all. They could be on the floor at the same time and would have very little overlap in what they have to do for 94 full feet. So I don't think one had anything to do with the other. I think it all had to do with Dickinson. And to be completely frank with you, as much as it would have been nice to see Udeh develop, because I think he's going to be a really good college basketball player. I really do. Wherever he ends up, Duke, or I know there's talk about him visiting TCU and K-State, wherever it is, I think he'll be a really good college basketball player. If you're guaranteeing me 1 year of potential All-America play in Hunter Dickinson, I will take that trade-off, and I really don't feel bad about taking that at all. So based on what you have in their stead, at the five, you have a potential All-American. At the four, you have KJ Adams, who hasn't played that spot in a year. So I think that's why I'd probably lean with Mbako.
Yeah, well, and if you think about it, like, this is not the same as the whole one-and-done craze, right, where you would bring guys in for a year, maybe two, but then they were gone. Those were freshmen. You're bringing in a very talented upperclassman who is already, you know, familiar with the college game, already knows what he's doing, has everything, you know, together in terms of being a successful college basketball player. And so 1 year of Hunter Dickinson is a whole lot different than 1 year of, like, Andrew Wiggins or 1 year of Joel Embiid. Like, as great as those guys were for the Jayhawks, you didn't have them at that peak for a full year. Hunter Dickinson is going to get up to speed a whole lot quicker. I'm not nearly as worried about that. And kind of to your point, I do think the recruiting of Mbako, and I've been, you know, well, first of all, I had heard, and kind of everything that I've heard around is KU was convinced that they were getting Mbako all the way up until about 10 minutes before he committed to Indiana, which is kind of crazy to think about. So, I mean, it's one of those where Uday with both of those guys, like if Bill Self is telling you that you have two guys coming that are going to take a whole bunch of minutes, there's not going to be, because Mbako is a guy that would have filled in at both the four and the five. You know, it would have given Kansas a different look at the five when he was playing the five instead of Dickinson. But it would have given Kansas, you know, pretty much all the minutes. Like, there wouldn't have been very many minutes for Uday unless Uday just outperformed Mbako. Which is definitely a possibility, but I would not have counted on it with the way that Mbako is expected to, you know, to be that good of a player. So, I'm not surprised by Uday leaving. I mean, I was a little surprised because of the timing of it happening before Mbako actually committed, but that told me, you know, that kind of confirmed everything that I was hearing, that Kansas was, I mean, Bill Self told donors, right, at like 1 o'clock on a Zoom call, and I'm getting this from Mike Vernon and a few other places as well to kind of confirm it on my own, but Bill Self was talking with donors, like talking about how it was going to be a good day, and while he didn't like promise they were getting Mbako, you know, I think everybody kind of knew what he was talking about at that point. So, you know, Kansas was blindsided. They were not expecting this at all. And I was listening to Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander over on the Ion CBS College Basketball Podcast. And, you know, they were talking about how if Kansas had gotten Mbako, they would have been the clear-cut number one national title favorite. Even without Mbako, they are a clear-cut national title contender. So, like, Kansas is still going to be one of the best five teams going into next year. They are already going to be stacked. You know, yes, there's a little bit of concern about, like, what do you do when KJ Adams and Hunter Dickinson need to be off the floor at the same time for whatever reason? Or, you know, if that ever happens, I'd potentially be worried, but you have to think that there's enough veteran presence on this team with all the transfers that they're bringing in that they would be able to handle, you know, 3 to 4 minutes a game without both of those players. So I think Kansas is well set up still, but I do agree. Ceiling-wise, I think Mbako made a big difference. Uday was much more of a protect the floor if something weird happens. If someone gets injured, if, you know, if something happens, Uday was that front court depth that you would really hope to have that would prevent some of the situations that we've seen around all of college sports with guys getting injured, you know, key guys going down at weird moments. But Uday, like you were talking about, Uday is a very hot commodity right now. Like, I'm seeing, you know, reports that he's going to K-State, to TCU, to Auburn, to Duke. Like, a lot of different places are looking at him. Even Kentucky, supposedly, has given him a call. So, like, you know, if a backup at Kansas is getting calls from Kentucky, he's going to be a backup at Kentucky, too. But I think there's, you know, as much room, or if not more, for him to get decent playing time at Kentucky just because of the way everything is setting up. So I will be very interested to see where Uday lands. I really hope it's not with Kansas State because, look, I already, you know, respect what Jerome Tang is building over there at Kansas State. I really don't want a guy like Ernest Uday, who I love rooting for, going to K-State and having to deal with that twice a year. So, you know, Uday, go anywhere but Kansas State, please. Please.
Yeah, I mean, that's what K-State's really, you know, they have a few roster spots they still need to fill out, but they've got their big transfer is Tyler Perry from North Texas. I think Naquan Tomlin could still be a really good player. He probably is more of a stretch four for them than a true big. You know, they've got some nice pieces on that team, and Tang's obviously a solid coach. They need a big man, like a true five man, because that was one of their big weaknesses last year. So we were actually talking about this on 580 Sports Talk earlier after it was revealed or reported by Andrew Slater that he was potentially going to take a visit to K-State. Said, dang, like that would add a little juice to the old Sunflower Showdown, the clash on the call if Ernest Uday switches from KU to K-State. But you know, signs right now are pointing to Duke, excuse me. I know a lot of the crystal balls over at 24/7 currently have Duke as the favorite right now. So we'll see. I think he's going to be a good player, but by the same token, I think he could be a really good player. We know what Dickinson is. Right. We know, and that includes limitations, and there are some defensively and there are some athletically, but also he had 18-9 last year for a really not impressive team and for a bad coach. What do you think Bill Self is going to do with a player like that? I think that 20-10 proclamation he made during his return press conference, speaking of Self, very possible with Hunter Dickinson. So again, I would make that trade 100 times out of 100.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also one of those things, you look at Uday, like he was a very good player and had a lot of great potential, but you do not know with the way that Kansas is able to recruit, the way that they're able to get transfers come in. It's very possible that, hey, next year they get some really big transfers, you know, and Uday again finds himself in a similar situation. So there is no guarantee that Uday is going to get the minutes that he's going to. I mean, you look at Joseph Yesufu or Bobby Pettiford, like guys that we had really high hopes for when they transferred here, and either injuries or just not playing quite as well as you want and you know, recruiting other guys over them, they did not have the kind of impact that we were expecting them to have. And so I would hate for Uday to stay with that expectation when he has an opportunity to go somewhere else and actually get the kind of playing time that he wants and get that development. Like he's going to develop here, no problem. But there are certain things that you have to be in the game for in a live game situation to really kind of develop that. And I know that Uday has, you know, designs on trying to go to the league, so he's going to need to be able to show that. And, you know, as much as I want to say that you know, he's gonna be behind some people at Duke, I do think that the situation at Duke would be better for him in terms of being able to get consistent minutes. Yeah. Whereas it's just not here at Kansas, which isn't really the fault of anybody. Like, I don't think anybody, even Bill Self, expected to be able to get this many big names like this to all come in that are all going to have an immediate impact. Once it kind of started and snowballed, and like you saw how, you know, on the warpath Bill Self was to get a bunch of guys. Like you said, it's about as good of a spring as you can imagine for a team that really struggled down the stretch last year with depth and, you know, getting to the point where they could actually field a significantly resilient team. Like, they had a lot of guys that were very resilient players. The problem was they didn't have enough guys at the key positions to be able to make the deep run that they wanted to make. And so, you know, we're not going to be looking at personnel this year as a reason why they don't make a run if they don't. Like, it's going to be because something weird happened, or it's going to just be because this team doesn't gel, but it's not going to be because they don't have enough talent personnel-wise in order to get there.
Yeah, and look, again, you just put together all the pieces that, well, only two are back. It's DeJuan Harris, but you start with an elite point guard, an elite facilitator who hopefully can take another step forward as a shooter. I don't even necessarily think scorer. I mean, we've seen how deadly he can be going downhill to the basket, that floater. He's a really good finisher with both the right and the left hand. I'm not worried about that, but we would like to see another small step shooting wise. And we know he's an elite facilitator. You've got KJ Adams, most improved player in the Big 12 last year, who one way or the other is going to play starter minutes, whether, you know, KU adds another guy who can play the four. You know, there's a number of guys out there, and I know we'll touch on that momentarily, but if someone else comes in to start at the four, KJ is still going to play 25 plus minutes a game. I don't think he's ever going to play less than that the rest of his KU career, unless he's in foul trouble, given what we've seen from him already in his career. You add Hunter Dickinson, the best player probably to ever be in the transfer portal, who, again, maybe has some deficiencies. He's also got legitimate 20-10 national, you know, All-American, maybe National Player of the Year potential. That is a wild declaration, and that is the very tippy top. But with Bill Self coaching a big man with that kind of skill, you could see it happen.
Well, and you look at what held him back, Dickinson, last year, and it was not having enough guys that could get the ball to him in good situations. Kansas has that in spades. I mean, DeJuan Harris by himself does that plenty, but then they have other guys that can, you know, you look at the freshman class coming in, there are several guys there that are ball handlers, guys that can really kind of put that together. And, you know, I think it's funny because we're talking about the transfers coming in, but we haven't even really talked about the freshmen coming in. Like, there are some really good freshmen, and maybe we're all kind of a little bit jaded because we got one really good high-performing freshman in Grady Dick last year, but then the rest of them kind of faltered for various reasons. But, I think that this is a very well-rounded class, and the fact that they were, you know, talking about having to potentially push some guys out, you know, thinking of Chris Johnson in order to allow Mbako to be able to come in, you know, tells you, one, how good those recruits were that they were still looking at trying to bring in, but also just kind of the respect that they have. Because there was a lot of people that were really, really upset about the possibility that Chris Johnson might not really have a scholarship spot anymore with the guys that they were recruiting. So now, obviously, with Kyle Cuff leaving, there's plenty of room for the guys that they want to bring in. And I'm honestly a little curious as to whether they're going to use up some of that self-imposed scholarship reduction this year. I would imagine they're going to do at least one, but if they can't find enough people that they really want to bring in, then they may have to use more than one, but we'll have to see. But yeah, I mean, there's still a few questions, but like, you look at the rotation this year coming up and it looks like it's going to be another year of how do you get all the guys that could see the floor enough minutes? Cause like, you were getting ready to talk about Arturo Morris. Like, I don't know how you get minutes for all these guys.
It's going to be, you know, that's the nice part about those tough games early in the season. You try things out, and by the middle of the Big 12 play, there will be a 7 or 8 man rotation, and we'll say, oh, yeah, that was obvious from the beginning, even though, no, we had a very clear need for that feeling out period early in the season. But, you know, Morris is going to see the floor. KU recruited him hard when he was coming out of high school, obviously went after him hard now leaving Texas, and again, assuming that the off-the-court legal troubles, which it's probably better to not get into too much because I don't want to get something wrong when you're talking about something as serious as the allegations against Arturo Morris. So he's obviously got talent. KU obviously likes that talent. I would imagine he's probably your two to start, but you're getting El Marco Jackson on the floor. McDonald's All-American, best recruit in the class, best recruit in class that is one of the best classes in the country. El Marco is going to be on the floor. He's going to be on the floor a lot. It just depends. Do you go with three ball handlers on the floor and you play like, essentially, you play four ball handlers and Hunter Dickinson, and you say, okay, everybody on the floor at any point can get the big man the ball. If that's what you do, okay, well, maybe that ends up working. I don't think you're going to see a lot of Nick Timberlake sliding down to the four, but you understand what I mean. You can be creative with these versatile skill sets, because really, there's only two guys that can only do, and I don't want to say can only do one thing, but are pegged in one spot in particular. That's Dwan Harris at the one. That's Hunter Dickinson at the five. Everybody else can play at least some combination or hybrid of roles, which I think makes things easier because you can mix and match in a bunch of different ways and make the pieces fit, but it also makes things harder because, all right, well, we only have three spots and four or five guys who need to see the floor. But I suppose that's a good problem to have. And I guess Parker Brown only plays one spot too, but if Parker Brown plays 5 minutes a game and doesn't screw up, that makes him a win. So I'm not going to worry about those minutes too much.
Parker Brown is most definitely, I mean, and I think the understanding there, like the report was that they were trying to bring Parker Brown in on a preferred walk-on and he didn't, you know, he wanted a scholarship. So understandable. Now they have room to bring him in on a scholarship. I think it makes sense to do it at this point. So, but you're right. He is very much a Mitch Lightfoot type of guy, a guy that you expect to be on the bench for a large portion of the game there. If you need a spark, if you need a guy to come in, and I have no doubt that he can develop into a very reliable guy for the minutes that they have him out there. I don't think that he's going to do anything to displace anybody else being on the court, but he's going to be there as kind of that fail safe, that fallback option. If you need a guy that, you know, you can trust and can play well while he's out there, that's what Parker Brown's going to bring. And that was kind of the what you were worried about, you know, in losing out on Mbako and then not having Uday or Ejiofor anymore. You know, you at least have somebody that can kind of fill that backup role as needed. So I will be very interested to see how they juggle everything. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of really, really fun competition between the different guys. And, you know, I guess Mbako going over to Indiana gives us now a nice big juicy storyline when Kansas goes to Assembly Hall this year. I saw plenty of people predicting that Kansas is still going to win by 10, so we'll see. But be very, very, you know, it's funny because, again, I was listening to the CBS podcast and, you know, Gary Parrish was kind of hammering home the fact that, you know, I mean, Indiana might be the second best basketball program in their state. You know, and like, they might be ranked now in the top 25 going into the, like, talking about just what that difference still looks like for Kansas versus Indiana. So it'll be very, I think, very interesting to see how both these teams develop, how Kansas gets everyone to gel. But I think there's going to be a lot more. I'm excited for Big 12 Media Days because it's going to be a whole lot more of a, what do you do with all these guys? How do you get them all on the court? Whereas last year it was like, how do you fit the pieces together? Now it's, I don't think there's any question about how you fit the pieces together. It's how do you have enough room for all the pieces that you want to fit together? So, all right. So let's go ahead. I mean, Kansas has, I believe, two scholarship spots left. Is there anybody that has caught your eye in terms of like someone that you want them to fill that last spot with? I know that they've been linked to a couple different recruits. None of them really, I think, at this point are like, for sure, that's who their target is. But is there anybody that's really kind of jumping out to you as somebody you want them to go after?
So there's a few names that stand out. And I know that a lot of folks have reported these various different sites that do this full time. I know my guy Michael Swain over at 24/7, he's had his finger on the pulse of a lot of these names. But there's a few that stand out, most of whom have entered the NBA draft process and may not be returning to school, but are in the transfer portal should they decide to pull out of the NBA draft and end up going back to college. One that stands out, KU has played him before. In fact, he nearly broke a bunch of KU hearts in the 2022 NCAA tournament. That's Arthur Kaluma from Creighton. Good player, I think. You know, I don't know where he would fit on the floor raiser or ceiling raiser kind of spectrum, but I think he's a nice player. I think he's someone who can play starter caliber minutes at the four for this team. He's a decent shooter, if not a great one, although we saw him up close and personal hit four in an NCAA tournament game, so we know he can knock those down. I think that's one that stands out. Like his length a lot. I don't know about the athletic ability, how well that might translate to the next level. Grant Nelson is one I know a lot of people have had their eyes on. Super scorer from North Dakota State. The vibe I've gotten, and this isn't a report, is just from reading Twitter, reading message boards, watching the NBA draft scrimmages, feel like Nelson's probably going to stay in the draft. I would be kind of surprised at this point if he does come back to school, but if he does, KU has reached out. They're going to be interested in him. Defensively, that's a toss-up. I don't know what the defense would look like with him as the four and Hunter Dickinson as your five, but he's an incredible scorer, even though he didn't play all that great against KU this past year. Those are two that stand out. I know a lot of people are interested in Julian Phillips from Tennessee, but I'd, again, be very surprised if he ends up coming back. The other in process, and I know that the odds are probably less than 1% at this point, but you know, Kevin McCullough didn't play all that well in his scrimmage on, I don't think he's coming back, but I imagine, you know, Bill Self's there in Chicago. I'm sure he walked down and said, "Hey Kev, great job. You know, there's a spot for you. If you want to come back, there is a spot for you."
He is on record saying that we would love to have Kevin McCullough back next year. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the spot is still there available. And I think kind of to your point, there doesn't appear to be any rush to get a new person to commit, you know, at this point. Right. And Bakko is one of those guys, like, if you could get him to commit, you definitely have a spot for him. I don't think there's anybody else out on the transfer market, especially the guys that are, you know, that are available right now and not going through the draft process that are just like, oh, if they want to come, we have to get them right now. So I think there's a lot of nice pieces, but I think Kansas is kind of holding back, trying to identify which one's going to fit best, you know. And I think that's kind of the point, though, is there aren't very many ways that somebody can raise the floor for this team, right? Because they already have a lot of really good pieces. Pretty much the only thing that you're going to be doing at this point, unless you're getting a guy that's going to start, which is going to be hard to find, you're going to get a guy that's going to be quality depth, that's going to be able to step in if one of the other options isn't working. You know, he might be end up being the first guy off the bench. I could see somebody getting that kind of impact, but I don't see any guy out there who's like an automatic, you have to add this talent because he plays a specific role that you either don't have or that you want to solidify even more and kind of, you know, injury proof it. So I think that we are probably going to be waiting a while before the next big piece of news. I think it's probably going to be after the deadline for the NBA draft. So I'll be looking at Kevin McCullough. Yeah. Like you said, a few of those guys, I would probably think that they're going to be in the draft, but there was a lot of people that thought that Remy Martin was going to stay in the draft, and then he ended up coming back and going to KU. So,
yep. You
know, there's definitely a possibility that Kansas is going to find somebody. I would be looking for Kansas to add somebody at that point. But there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of worthwhile additions, but you don't have to rush to get any of them. However, what you do want to rush, because, let me tell you want to have this as soon as you possibly can. I have way too much of it, but it's the wonderful and fantastic shirts from our sponsor here on the podcast, Home Field Apparel. Home Field Apparel, the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel anywhere. T-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, joggers, a whole bunch more. They have the best collection of over 140 different schools. They keep adding new stuff all the time. They've just done a bunch of refreshes. Kansas got a refresh not too long ago, and again, it was absolutely fantastic stuff. So make sure you are paying attention to what Home Field Apparel does. I have plenty of non-Kansas stuff because, let me tell you, it is all just absolutely fantastic. I took part in the Third Month Mania mystery boxes and got myself a really nice South Carolina shirt that I did not expect to like as much as I do. So you are guaranteed to go out there and find something from anybody that you are very interested in. And, of course, if you don't have any Kansas gear yet from Home Field, make sure you go out and get that. You can use promo code CHALK12 to get 15% off your entire first order. But again, just fantastic stuff. Make sure you go get some if you haven't already. All right. Anything else basketball related you want to talk about?
Just want to reiterate, it's been a really good spring, and don't fret losing a bunch of players that didn't make Kansas better last year. Like, I've got no ill will toward Yesufu and Cuff and Pettiford and Clements and Zuby and Uday, and no ill will at all toward any of the guys who transferred. Cam Martin's the other one. But those guys didn't help KU last year. We spent all year complaining about how bad the bench was, and now I see on Twitter every day, oh my God, this mass exodus. Oh, I don't know how we're going to replace this. But replace what? They didn't do anything. So
right. Like, it's been a great. Think about the pieces that are missing that were successful last year. They all went to the NBA. Like, they all left because they had to. Or because they were just that good that they, you know, that they actually had to. So, but, I mean, kind of, you know, we talked about this, Kyle and I did on the last one, and I've talked about it a few times before as well. You know, Kansas, after winning the championship, did not have the normal turnover that you see from a team in the transfer portal era. Everybody stayed that could, that wasn't going to the NBA. And so you don't usually see that kind of carryover. And so we didn't get the development from some guys we expected, but you didn't also get that natural turnover to find pieces that kind of fit what you did. And so I think there was a decent amount of mismatch last year of skill set to needs just because nobody left. I mean, and we even saw, like, a lot of guys love it here. And the situation, the NIL situation, and, you know, the kind of the quality of life of being a Kansas basketball player is absolutely fantastic. You saw that with Kyle Cuff not wanting to leave and reportedly holding on as long as he possibly could to stay here at Kansas before finally deciding to transfer, you know, as many more people were getting recruited over him. And so, you know, this is not, I don't think, that much of a surprise. Like, you're seeing 2 years worth of turnover happen. It's the way that college basketball is set up now, especially since one guy can make such a big difference. This isn't like football, right? Where you get worried when 30 players transfer, or you get worried when, you know, an entire running back room transferred or something like that. Like, it takes a lot more there. And normally this level of players leaving on from like a football team would be like, hey, what's going on? Because, you know, you have some turnover, but not that much, not this kind of percentage. But basketball, you know, people can change their situation. Teams can change so quickly based off of what's happening here in the transfer portal. This is just the way it is and the way it's going to be moving forward. But think about, you know, we went from Bill Self not being able to coach in the Big 12 tournament, lots of rumors about his health potentially making him have to think about retiring, to him coming back with a vengeance, getting one of the best transfer recruiting classes you could possibly get, to add on to a very, very good freshman class as well. And Kansas is in as good a position as ever to be able to make a run at a national title, having just, you know, been 2 years away now from winning one. So be very, very, you know, be very happy with where we are at this program now. And I honestly, I don't think there's anything else that could happen the rest of this spring that would make it significantly better. But also, I can't think of anything that would happen that would make it significantly worse. So really looking forward to, like, even if they don't fill another scholarship spot the rest of the way, like, I don't think that there's a problem. So, but want to go ahead really quick before you get out of here, just kind of talk briefly. We are going to be doing, we are roughly, well, by the time this is coming out, we're going to be just over 100 days from the beginning of the football season. And of course, that means over on Blue Wings Rising, we are doing the thing that we have always done, both here and then we are back over at Rock Chalk Talk, the 100-day countdown to Kansas football. We have a lot of different stuff planned. We're going to do all the, you know, all the stuff that you're used to seeing, the positional previews, the game previews, the podcast. We'll be bringing on guests from all of our opponents to preview all of those teams throughout the year, so that you have plenty of content. But we are also going to be taking a look, you know, Derek Knoll is going to continue his number ranking series. Going to focus on some of the football people now. I absolutely love the basketball series. So if you have not been paying attention to that, make sure you go read all those, because those are fantastic. Going to be doing similar things with numbers for football players. You know, we're going to have obviously all of those previews. We'll be giving you all the updates you need from fall camp. And you know, was talking with Brendan before we started recording here, and it looks like we might have some other interesting ideas and some other new things that we haven't done on the countdown before. So make sure you stay tuned. And of course, if realignment news hits like it did like crazy last year, we will be covering that or anything else that comes up. You know, because there's always some, it seems like we always have some sort of curveball that comes during the summer. So make sure you guys are paying attention to the website. Brendan, anything else football wise? I know that we haven't had a chance to talk football since the spring showcase. Was there anything that kind of jumped out there from you or anything about this team, like the way you're thinking about this team going into year three of Lance Leipold?
I think that we should have, you know, the expectations going into 23 should be at the least what happened in 22. You know, at this point, it should be bowl game or bust, because hey, you in theory should be better next year with as much talent as is returning, including a potential superstar quarterback, already in the Big 12, a star quarterback. But I think the ceiling is the roof, if you will. I mean, the sky is the limit. That's the idiom I'm looking for Jalen Daniels. He really is that good. He really has that kind of skill, and he has another year in this system of him being the guy. I think Bean is going to be used in an interesting way. Hopefully the running back room gets healthy. I know they were so banged up over the course of the spring. They're healthy. The wide receiver room should be deep again. Eventually I'm going to get that Luke Grimm feature up over at Blue Wings Rising so I can talk about my favorite player on this KU roster. The defense, I'm a little nervous about, but by the same token, KU just within the last few days brought in a transfer commitment from a former top 100 recruit in the country who committed to Auburn and Dylan Brooks. He might not be an instant impact guy. It sounds from folks smarter than me and who know his game a little bit more than me that he still might be a project. He can play right away, but he's not going to be a finished product right away. He's a former top 100 recruit, and he's coming to Kansas from an SEC school, and not because he like got kicked out of the SEC school like this is the Weiss era or something. No, this is a legitimately big time get for Brian Borland, for Les Miles. Shout out to Scott Aligo and the other guys who are in the quote unquote front office putting this program together through the portal. We should be encouraged. I think the expectation should be higher because this team should theoretically be better. But this is the first time in a long time we're going into a year saying, yeah, this is a bowl team. And it's not about do they get to a bowl. It should be, are they playing on December 19th or are they playing on December 30th or something like that. So I'm excited. 100-day countdown is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to diving into the film a little bit, trying some new things. And there's a reason to think this team, you know, six minimum should be the bare minimum. And that's a fun place to be.
I mean, yeah, you look at the Vegas line, like it's 6.5 wins for the Jayhawks. Like, they're expecting Kansas to be bowl eligible, which is crazy to think about. But, you know, you look at it, the offense should be better from last year. You have Jalen Daniels coming back. You have Jason Bean being used in interesting ways. You know, you kind of saw some of that. And, you know, the running back room was very young at the spring showcase, but they still played pretty well. You know, obviously defensive line is a worry with some of the losses that they had. And, you know, with Lonnie Phelps leaving, you know, moving on to the NFL, there's some worry about the defensive front, but bringing in a guy from Auburn, they brought in a few guys to help shore that up. And so, yeah, it's one of those things where you have lots of reasons to be excited. Every reason to think that this team is going to get better. The defense is still a potential concern, but just because of personnel that, you know, they have shown the ability to take the personnel that they have and get the best that they can out of them. So hopefully that the talent step up is enough that we're going to see the kind of results that we're hoping to see. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. This is probably going to be the most hyped football season that we have had in a very long time because of what happened last year and how fast Kansas got started. So I can guarantee you that Kansas will not have to wait until week 6 to get ranked if, you know, they start out really hot. So, all right, I think that's going to do it for us today. Brendan, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have not already, please do go out wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of the other million apps that are out there. Just search for Rock Chalk Podcast. You can subscribe. Get every episode as soon as it comes out. If you can give us a rating and a review, 5 stars, nice comments would be absolutely fantastic. But if for whatever reason you can't do that, just let us know what it is. We can be doing better. We really do bring the podcast to you guys to get all the information you need in as entertaining a way as possible. So if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, people you want me to try to interview, anything like that, contact me by email at rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at rockchalkpod. We are part of the 10-12 Podcast Network, covering all the teams in the Big 12 Conference. That's including the 4 new schools that are coming in this year. Looking forward to working with all those guys, talking about everything that is going to be Big 12 in the super-sized Big 12 for, you know, a year before it drops down to actually 12 people. But make sure you guys visit our sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Promo code CHALK12 gets you a great deal over there. But Brendan, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will catch you guys next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.
Podcast Network.